Hello, Rebels of the Sharp Evolution. Normally, I start off this podcast by saying hi, but I'm going to start this one off by saying hydration. We know how important hydration is for our bodies. It's the thing that keeps us running, right? You want to be a well-oiled machine. You want to be running efficiently. You know what can help you run efficiently? Liquid IV. It is the category-winning hydration brand fueling your well-being, and their hydration multiplier is the one product that you are missing in your daily routine. It comes in a little stick that's a powder, and in just one stick, you get 5 essential vitamins and 2 times faster hydration than water alone. If you use it first thing in the morning, maybe before a workout, when you feel run down, maybe after a long night out and doing a little partying, you know what I mean? And even, what if you have like a long flight or something like that and you just bleh, right? We all feel that way, bleh. So add this to your water, and that convenient packaging can go with you anywhere you go, even if you're going to the gym or you're traveling or you're at work and maybe you didn't have a great breakfast. At least it's something that will fuel you up in the morning, and there's a whole bunch of flavors that are available, like sea berry, strawberry lemonade, Concord grape, lemon lime, pina colada, tropical punch, watermelon, strawberry, passion fruit, guava, acai berry. Did I say that right? I never know how to say that. But those are just some of the flavors. Here's some statistics for you folks. One stick of liquid IV in 16 ounces of water contains 5 essential vitamins: B3, B5, B6, B12, and even vitamin C. And we all know how important those B vitamins are. It's got 3 times the electrolytes of traditional sports drinks. It's made with premium ingredients. It's non-GMO, and it is free from gluten, dairy, and soy. I'm going to offer you a great deal, Rebels. If you go to liquidiv.com and use offer code Sherpa, you can get 20% off of anything that you order on that site when you're shopping for some better hydration. So that's Liquid IV. Check it out at liquidiv.com.
Too Many Podcasts is brought to you in cooperation with the SJ Network. If you are a person who would like to appear on podcasts, contact Stephen Joyner at s-j-network.com. We now direct you to the Sherpa Chalet, where we will turn it over to Jim the Podcast Sherpa. How he got this job is anyone's guess.
This week on Too Many Podcasts, it's a conversation with Stephen Fisher of the Life Slices with Stephen Fisher podcast. Steve has enjoyed careers as an actor, journalist, and as a writer for cartoons and numerous soap operas, like Days of Our Lives and General Hospital. Speaking of doctors, I just found out last week that I'm colorblind. Talk about news that came out of the purple.
Welcome to Too Many Podcasts, the podcast about podcasts. Now, podcasting from the Sherpa Chalet on Mount Podcastia, here's your host, Jim, the Podcast Sherpa.
Hello there, Rebels of the Sharp Illusion, and welcome to Too Many Podcasts. It is the podcast about podcasts and so much more. It is me, Jim, the Podcast Sherpa, coming to you from Sherpaloo Studios, high atop beautiful downtown Mount Podcastia, off of the Sherpa Chalet. That's right, we're here, and it's another week getting to know another podcaster, which is what we do here. We talk to podcasters. We talk to everybody on this show. Who are we kidding? Everybody. Well, maybe not that one over there, but we'll talk to just about anybody, and even our guest today.
Who's our guest today, Sherpa?
His name is Stephen Fisher. He is the host and creator of a podcast called Life Slices. One word. Remember, one word. And in this podcast, he gets to talk to fascinating people all around the world, and they've all got amazing stories. And I think what's really interesting is that Steve himself has led an interesting life. So I got to spend a little time with him and get to know him. And you're going to enjoy this. We really had a lot of fun, and he told some really interesting stories. So it's something you definitely want to stick around for. And of course, after our interview with Steve, what do? We know what to do. We're going to be heading right into Sherpa Samples, where we will be talking about what's out there on the podcast charts. But first, this is the part you're really going to like, folks. I promise you. My conversation with Mr. Steve Fisher of the Life Slices podcast. Hello there, Rebels. We are in the conference room of the Sherpa Chalet, and my guest today is an author, an actor, and a podcaster who is the host of a podcast called Life Slices, where he gets to talk to people from all over the place about all sorts of different subjects. His name is Steve Fisher. He's an hour away from Canada, just in case he needs to make an escape from this interview.
Exactly.
Steve, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's nice to be here. And I'm not afraid of the interview as much as I am about our country's political situation.
Okay.
That's why Canada seems good.
Okay. We stay away from the politics here, so you don't have to worry about that.
That's fine. Yeah, I don't want to. I noticed I didn't mention which way, you know. So I think we could be in trouble no matter who wins, but.
You never know. You never know. So now, originally, you weren't an author?
I was a writer. I wrote for TV and film and stage.
Okay.
And I still do. Not as much for TV anymore, because when I left wonderful, beautiful, sunny Southern California, it was, forget about writing for TV if you're over 40. And a year after I moved up here, a friend who was a writer called me and said, remember that thing about forget about writing for TV if you're over 40? I said, yeah. He says, now it's forget if you're over 35. So I said, well, it's a good thing I moved when I did.
Well, what shows were you writing for and what movies?
I ended up writing a lot of daytime TV, Days of Our Lives, Young and the Restless, General Hospital, some that are no longer on the air that you probably never heard of. Mm-hmm. And then I did a lot of animation work and wrote for She-Ra, Princess of Power, and New Adventures of He-Man, and a very weird show called James Bond Jr., The Adventures of James Bond Jr. It's like, and when I first went in for the meeting, I said, well, James Bond was never married, never had a child. They said, no, it's his nephew. It's his nephew, but he's James Bond Jr. How does that work? I don't think I want to know.
Did James Bond have several brothers that were also named James?
Evidently. I don't know. Everybody in the family was named James, so
it's not like sure the George Foreman family.
Yeah, exactly. But without the grill.
I think maybe that grill needed to be a little bit safer, don't you think?
I think so. I had one of those things once and almost burned the house down. Because I kept putting charcoal in it in the middle of the kitchen. And I guess you didn't have to really do that.
I never understood. Why did they at least put a little meter on it so you can see exactly how hot the meat was getting? It was like, no, that wasn't necessary.
No, but then you always had that meat thermometer. Remember that thing you would just stick in? And I always felt guilty about doing that. I go, you know, we're doing enough damage to this poor piece of meat, and now we're jabbing it with this thermometer thing. Although I never had a cut of beef complain.
That is always a worthwhile thing to aspire for. So.
Right. But now I don't even eat beef anymore. You know why? I learned that cows love to cuddle. After I learned that, I said, I can't eat something that likes to cuddle.
Hey, I guess that's as good a reason as any.
Yeah. If I ever find out vegetables like to be cuddled and chicken, I'm in real trouble. Running out of things to eat.
That is very true. So after you did your writing, you retired from that. Do you write books also, or
I am working that now. I've started about five different books, and I've yet to complete one. My daughter keeps accusing me of being ADD, ADHD, and I said no. I don't think I am. I just can never finish anything. Because I'll start a book. And I start writing it, and I'll get a few chapters in, and then they go, oh, wait, I got another idea. And so I start writing that, and then that takes hold, and I go, oh, wait, now I have another idea. So I have lots of ideas and can't finish anything.
But all the different ideas wouldn't fit in one book, though? You're going in a lot of different directions?
No, they wouldn't go together at all. It would make Monty Python seem little too unstrange if I like put all the ideas together. They're totally different things. You know, I mean, one might be like a romantic fantasy, and then it's like an action adventure thing, and then it's a disaster story. So it's like, well, figure out what you want to write and write it.
And you said that you become an actor later in life after doing all the soap operas and cartoons.
I actually started as an actor.
Okay.
And then I was doing a show back east, and I was the quote unquote star of the show, even though I was a no name nobody. And we played a few towns in Pennsylvania and then brought the show back to New York. And we had like a 2-week layover, layoff between Pennsylvania and New York. And in that time, I got a new script in the mail. That was before the days of computers where they could just email stuff.
Right.
So I get a new script in the mail and I read it and I said, well, wait a minute. I said, you cut my part. And they said, no, we didn't cut your part. We just built up everyone else around you. I said, well, wait a minute. I was playing a character that was actually Groucho.
Okay.
It was based on Groucho. So I said, well, I'm doing Groucho Marx. I said, I can't be on stage for these long periods of time without doing anything because people will be looking at me to see what's Groucho going to do. What's Groucho going to do? And so I said, either get me off stage or give me something to do. And it was like, no, you don't like it. We'll get someone else to play the part. So I said, well, you know what? I committed to doing it, so I will do it, but I guarantee we'll close in 2 weeks. I said, because you're forcing me to be mugging and stealing the stage from other people to be true to the character.
Right.
So I did that. And yes, I was doing all this other shtick, just physical shtick on stage without lines. And so people were watching me and it was detracting from the main part of the scene. So I was almost right. We didn't close in 2 weeks. We closed in a week and a half.
Beat him by 4 days.
Right. So after that, I said, forget it. I'm going to writing. Because I'm part Polish and thought that writers had more power.
Well, I guess it probably depends on the situation, right?
Yeah, you don't. That's why all TV writers tend to become producers. Because you don't really get the power till you become a producer. As the writer, nobody cares what you have to say.
Right. And I guess when you're writing for like a soap opera, is it like a crazy pace that, you know, you're working on this one character storyline and it goes all over the place?
It was totally nuts because we were working on scripts 2 weeks ahead of taping. Mm-hmm. And the taping was 2 weeks ahead of air. So you're talking about a month between writing, working on the scripts, and the time the show airs. So people would ask me, do you watch the show? I said, no, I can't. I said, because it just confuses me.
Right.
Because I'm a month ahead of them. And then I watch the show and I go, wait a minute, we did that already. Oh, no, we didn't do it. Yes, that was written a month ago.
I hope you didn't like walk past, like maybe you see people in the store watching TV and going, don't get too attached to that character.
No, in fact, I was under contract. I couldn't talk about the show.
Right.
And we were not supposed to say anything. So, you know, people would ask me and I said, I can't talk about it. Mm-hmm. And then one time I made the mistake, one of the shows I was on, we had a barbecue at my house and I invited the writing staff and I had gotten friendly with one of the actresses on the show. Mm-hmm. So I invited her and her husband and Monday going to the office, I get called into the head writer's office and they said, you can't do that. I said, what can I do? You can't associate with the actors. Really? Why? It's like, cause they'll just be lobbying for their part. And what they want to do, and you can't commit to anything, and you, so it's like, oh, okay, I won't be friendly with the actors.
Wow, it's surprising now, you know, where especially with soap operas that you know they take everything to a relatively good extreme with you know bad things happening to people and stuff like that.
Yeah,
it's such a top secret atmosphere.
It was ludicrous, actually, some of the stuff. And we did, when I was on Days of Our Lives, we had, I forget, it was like one of the, it might have been the 25-year anniversary or something, and we had a big party. So I wrote special lyrics to Comedy Tonight from Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, and I made a tragedy today, and it wrote all these crazy things that happened in the show, and the writers put the together, and we performed for the whole cast and crew. And everybody was just cracking up because you would have stupid things. I mean, most soap operas, when they get to the summer months, they want to appeal to a younger audience. Right. So they'll always bring kids in. But we had, there was an instance one time where somebody had a baby. The baby was kidnapped. When they got the baby back weeks later, it was a teenager. It's like, how the heck did they do that? Were we going to science fiction now? It's like, I don't understand how that happens.
The magic of soap opera aging.
Right, right. You know, somebody would go off, and an actor would actually leave the show, but they'd write the character out for a few weeks. And when they brought the character back, it was played by a totally new actor who didn't look anything like the original actor, different size. It's like, well, boy, how did that work? That was a weird car accident. Look at what it did to this guy.
A really strange puberty mixed in with a car accident.
Right, right. He got taller. He got moles on his face. It's like, what the heck? How did this happen?
And all the tattoos that they had are mysteriously gone.
Right. That, well, yeah, you don't show. Well, in those days, you didn't show tattoos in shows. We actually did a storyline. I won't mention the show or the actress, but we had a character killed that was supposedly this one character. And when they found out the truth, it was actually a twin that had gotten killed. But fans got so upset about killing off this main character that they picketed our office. So we're looking out the window at all these people, you know, out there picketing for killing off this character. And then that actor who played the part is standing behind us, who had their PR person set up the whole thing. It wasn't even a real protest. Like, this is just a crazy world. And it was like the bizarro world of showbiz, because you have all these actors on soaps who are superstars with their audiences, and most people have no clue who they are.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, running into a star from another country. And that person might not be able to walk down the street in their country, but in our country, nobody knows them. And it's why so many stars in this country go to other countries, because they can walk around and not be bugged by people.
Yeah, yeah, that's an interesting point. And I guess especially with soap operas too, they have such a specific target audience, and people just, like you said, they kind of cling to these characters. They relate to them, even though they're going through things that, and maybe five things in 1 week that'll never happen to them at all.
I mean, it's totally nuts. There was an actor years ago. I don't remember who the actor, it was an actress, and I don't remember the character name or anything, but they killed her off on the show, and a woman came up to her on the street, and it's all upset and distraught, and go, "Betty, why did you die?" And it didn't really.
So how did you fall upon doing a podcast? I guess this is probably a natural extension of having lived in a couple of crazy worlds.
Well, yeah. And I did radio years ago, and back when I was in college, and I loved doing it. But I didn't go into it. I was offered a couple of jobs when I was leaving college, when I was graduating. And I said, no, I don't really want to do radio. I want to go to Broadway and become a, you know, star on Broadway. And that didn't quite work out. Then I went to work for television, and that didn't work out. And then I ended up here as a journalist, and that worked out for a number of years. But I really loved interviewing people.
Okay.
And I left that when I retired from that job, I said, I still like doing the work. And when podcasting came in, I said, oh, it's a way to do radio without having to do it professionally and being able to just do it on my own out of my home studio. And at first, a friend and I from our acting days teamed up And we did a podcast called Old Guys Bitching, where we would just, each episode would sit and talk about events of the day and bitch about them. And we used to joke about our fan being only one, and I'm not sure who that fan was, but then unfortunately my partner on that passed away before we could do a second season of it, and I tried it with another partner, and I'm not doing anything. I really don't like this. I don't want to just sit around complaining about what other people are doing. And then I was talking to a friend, and they said, well, you did all these great interviews. I worked on a magazine, and they said, you did all these great interviews. Why don't you do that? So I said, yeah, and I don't have to worry about when a partner is available or what they want to do or trying to steal the microphone or anything like that. And I said, I'm going to try that. So I started interviewing people like I did for the magazine. I started with a couple of people I had interviewed for the magazine. And I said, want to do this podcast. And it worked out really well. And I enjoyed doing it. And it was a good reaction to it. And my fan base doubled, at least, from one fan to two. So that's what I'm working on, getting that number up. I'm significantly higher now, but
as long as they're able to press the start button, you can only go up, right, Steve?
Right, exactly. I think the show could really take off sometime in the future. So I might be long gone by then, but future audiences are going to love it at what crazy people did back then.
And you've done quite a few shows already.
Yeah, we have, I don't know the exact count. I think I'm closing in on 100 or just over 100.
Mm-hmm. It is kind of like an audio legacy that you leave behind.
Yeah, yeah. It's not going anywhere, you know, and radio waves, for all I know, I'm a huge hit in Alpha Centauri.
You never know.
I could be. I haven't gotten any fan mail yet, but I keep hoping. I purposely bought a house with a big backyard so spaceships can land back there.
Just in case they want to have a word with you, right?
I would. That's my. I want to be the first podcast host to have an interview with an alien.
That is true, though. When you think about it, though, you know, I mean, you get these moments in time that are, you know, that are captured, and you know, and they're out in sonic waves, and it's, if there is life on other planets, and they come across these things, and they'd be like, "What is this?"
Right. They may learn from our podcast what our society is like, and we should be scared of which podcast they're listening to. Because they might think there's nothing but crime on that planet. It's true crime.
If they heard mine, they'd be like, are any of them talented? Do any of them tell good jokes?
What is there? I think my favorite podcast to listen to is Smartless. Uh-huh. And I love the camaraderie, and they get some interesting conversations with guests. And it's a lot of fun, but it's like, if you don't know who they are, we know them as celebrities. The three hosts are all names to us, but to people in other countries or other planets, they have no clue who these people are. Just these goofy guys talking about weird stuff, including bowel habits and weird diets.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting, though, when you think about it, though, because aliens have no context when they're going to be listening to a podcast from Earth.
Right.
But yet sometimes when you talk to somebody and you go, I have a podcast, and they look at you like you've got two heads. Like, well, wait a minute. What's a podcast?
Right. You get that on this planet, too. I mean, there are plenty of people here who don't listen to podcasts. And people say, oh, I'll have to listen to that. And then it's like, well, you have to down and really find it and then hit go. to listen, that takes a little effort, you know, as opposed to TV, you can just turn it on and something's there. Might not be good.
Yeah, I guess who thought that we were live, and was like, no, can't be live right now because I wouldn't be prepping you right on the, with the microphone and everything like that. You're like, go, talk now.
Yeah, yeah, people do that. And then people will ask me when we're doing that, is this audio or video? I said, yes. And they go, what? I said, well, it's an audio podcast, but we will be doing the interview via video. Mm-hmm. And they go, good. So I don't have to look good. I said, well, I might use a piece of it for like promotional purposes, right, or something. So whatever you need to do. Some people really are so concerned with how they look. And I remember in the early days of video calls, I couldn't even get my mother or my sister or my aunt to do a video call because, I don't look good. I don't look good on camera. And I go, well, no one's going to see it but me. Well, I got to do my makeup and my hair. No, you don't. It's fine.
Yeah, I've had a few people who, you know, they were happy. They were so happy that it was just audio, my podcast. And they're like, I'm in my pajamas. I'm just turning the light off of Zoom. I said, but you'll hear my voice. I'm like, okay, I can hear you. We're good.
Right, right. Well, there always used to be that question mark in our minds long before, back in the days when TV newscasters, all they did was sit at a desk and look into the camera. And you always, they'd have a jacket and tie on top, but you had no clue what was on from the waist down. They could have been sitting there naked for all we knew, but they had a jacket and tie on. Now that they have them up and walking around, they can't do that anymore. But I still, every so often, I'll be watching the news and I look down. Oh, the weather guy's wearing sneakers. Okay.
It's funny. I think, in like, especially when I first started doing the podcast, and, you know, I hear from other podcasters, and the thing that they were so self-conscious about was, they didn't like their voice.
Yeah. Well, that's why I don't listen to me. I only listen to my guest or guests.
That's an easy way around it, right?
Yeah, exactly. I will just, you know, and after I edit, and then I have to go back through it, and I will, I keep skipping by 10 seconds. So it's like, okay, I heard that guy. I don't want to listen to that guy. That's me. I know what he sounds like.
I just learned to live with it. To me, it's just been a point of acceptance. Like, that's my voice. I know I don't sound like that, but this is what everybody else is hearing. So be it.
Right. But nobody knows what they sound. Most people don't know what they sound like.
Right.
Even if you're talking on the phone, you're not hearing yourself. You're hearing the other person. And So even in a one-to-one conversation in a room, we're talking to somebody, we hear their voice. We don't hear our voice as the other person hears it. So right. When we record it and play it back, I don't know anybody who doesn't go, oh, that's what I sound like? Oh. Yes, you do. You can take lessons. You can make it deeper, make it a little more resonant, make it a little clearer. But sorry, that's how you sound.
Yeah. And if all else fails, there's always editing software.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's little voice tuners. Well, yeah, and radio people tend to put their voices lower and speak. I interviewed an actor, a British actor once, a guy named Ian Glen, who was in Game of Thrones and done lots of stuff. And it was a phone interview, and I call, he answers the phone, and I go, yeah, is Ian Glen there? Yeah, it's Ian. Ian, and I said, Steve Fisher, and the magazine I was interviewing him for, and I said, you don't sound like you. He says, oh, because I'm not acting right now. His voice was a little more casual. It wasn't quite as robust as he was on Game of Thrones. It's like, okay, who am I talking to?
Well, I guess they don't need that voice if they go into like Burger King. Like, I'll have the fries.
Right, right. That's why people have no clue who they are. I always wonder, And I don't know how the age of your listeners, but Mel Blanc, who used to do all the cartoon voices and Bugs Bunny and stuff like that, I wonder what he sounded like in real life.
Yeah.
And if he ever ordered, you know.
I'll be in for a pizza. Wait, can I get pepperoni on it?
Can I have a bleep, 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 bologna sandwich?
Yeah, yeah. It's like,
hello, I'm here for my pizza. What?
That's not the guy who called and ordered here. But that I want to, you know, I want to do that sometime. It's like, like interview somebody. And, you know, because most I reach out to people via email or messenger or whatever. So they don't hear my voice and they don't hear it until we actually meet to on Zoom to do the podcast. And I'd love to like just set this up with somebody. And then when they get on going,
oh, hi, you ready to go?
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I've been tempted to do that on dates, too. You know, after you find somebody, you make a date on online dating, and then you meet in a coffee shop. And
I'm so glad you could come out today.
But I have enough trouble getting dates, so I'm not going to try that.
not Gild the Lily, is that what they is that what they say?
I think Gilded Lily was my prom date, actually.
Okay. So when you're not doing Life Slices and you're not talking to fascinating people, what else are you listening to apart from Smartless?
I actually don't listen to a lot of podcasts because I usually don't have the time for it. Mm-hmm. But I will listen to true crime. There was I actually can't remember the name, but there was a podcast with a woman would talk about different Hollywood legends and stuff. And I listened to it for a while, and then I said, I can't listen to this. And the person who had recommended it to me said, why not? It's fascinating stuff. I said, because their research is a little dicey, and they are saying things that I know are not true.
Huh.
Or not accurate, and it's that would annoy me.
Okay,
but I do like personality stuff. I do like you talk about monsters and things that go bump in the night, and yeah, I got a little bit of that.
Okay, nice and easy, right? You don't have to worry about facts and anything like that.
I don't know what it, and I've been on a tear lately watching. There's a channel on. I don't have cable TV or anything. I just have streaming, and there's a channel that keeps playing the old Universal horror movies. So I've been House of Frankenstein, House of Dracula, and I've been watching, you know, all these things over and over, and I love monster movies as a kid, and I love that stuff now.
Cool. So we have a portion of the show, and it is called Shameless Self-Promotion, and this is where you can let everybody know where they can catch you on Life Slices, or if you're out on the fun social media thing.
Shameless self-promotion. Shameless self-promotion.
Life Slices with Steve Fisher. You got to put the name in because there's another Life Slices out there that's a couple of Indian guys talking about yoga or something. I don't know what it is. But so Life Slices with Steve Fisher can be found anywhere you find fine podcasts.
Okay.
And even some not so fine podcasts.
I always tell people the podcast app you love and the ones you hate.
Yes, exactly. It's like, but listen to mine. I think you'll like it. The trick is getting people to listen to it the first time, especially people who know me. Go, well, I know you. It's like, but that's not what I'm doing. I'm not just doing shtick. I'm talking to really interesting people. I said, you might actually learn something. I interviewed a guy named Rory Brannan, who was the head of the continuing education at the University of Washington. And we were talking, and he said, you're actually doing continuing ed. I said, what? He says, yeah, your show actually, you know, it talks about a lot of different subjects that gives people information on things they might not otherwise have known about. And I love doing that. I mean, I love opening people's eyes. I like with my show, I like interviewing people that other people haven't heard of.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally, I'll try to get a guest who's a bit more of a name or something who appears on a lot of the news shows. But for the most part, those people have an audience. People know them and know what they have to say. I like finding people that don't have that wide audience,
sure,
but have something fascinating to talk about.
Yeah, and that's probably more often the case than not, right? The unheard voice can be very right. interesting.
Exactly. And it's feeding my curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
It's like people say, how do you get your guests? I said, I do a lot of reading online. Mm-hmm. And just trying to find intriguing stories, inventions, accomplishments, scientific advances, whatever they are, and then get the person responsible to come on the show to talk about it. And I said, and that feeds my interests and my curiosity, and hopefully other people's as well. But in the meantime, I also try to be just have people who have something positive to say.
Sure.
If you watch most news channels, especially the cable news channels, you walk away ready to shoot yourself because life is just not worth living. It's awful out there. Nothing's working in government. Nothing's working in society. It's like, I try to find the positive.
Yeah.
It's like, find the people who are doing really intriguing things. I had a woman on the show. Not a name or anything, just a woman in England who decided she wanted to spend a year being nice to people, complete strangers. And she would just find people on the street and do errands for them or, you know, carry groceries for mm-hmm. an elderly woman or take someone and drive them where they needed to go because they didn't have transportation. It's stuff like that. And I said, There are some great people in the world doing some great things. They just have lousy press.
Yeah. that is very true.
People are not hearing these stories of these people doing great things unless they listen to Life Slices.
There you go. See, you have provided a beacon for them, my friend.
I hope so. That's what I like to. Speaking of a beacon, the very first guests I had on the show were a husband and wife team of lighthouse keepers in British Columbia.
Huh.
They lived together. They were man and wife, but they maintained this lighthouse. And I said, I was intrigued by that. And I had interviewed them for the magazine and they were fun. And I said, okay, let's do this on the show. They don't do it anymore, but they've retired from that, by now. But at that time they were doing it. And I said, that's not something you come across every day.
That is true.
It's like, we live on just this little rock and do all this stuff. It's like, wow, you really have to have a good relationship to do that.
Absolutely. Can we tell everybody that we jumped over into a new Zoom meeting, Steve?
If you'd like to, we could have just kept talking and nobody would be any the wiser.
That's right. We're taking them behind the scenes though, right?
Yes. Yes. There will be an edit. So if you hear a click, you know we didn't do it right.
That's right. Or are we fooling everybody and it's one big recording?
Right.
And we're just making it sound like it's two recordings.
Yes. Not only did we record this over two sessions, but it was over 20 years. So... we've been preparing for this day in podcasting for decades.
That's right. It's like that documentary when they did the kids who were 7 and then when they were 14 and 21 and 28.
Yes. I don't know. I would forget who they are from that time. I could never do that.
Yeah, I think it'd be a little tricky for me too.
Enough trouble when I was getting ready to do this with you. I was thinking, well, if he asks me about all these individual people, I don't remember any names. But for the most part, I there are a lot of like stuff I did 3-4 years ago. Mm-hmm. I don't remember those people anymore. it's not my, I mean, every so often I will have a guest who I will stay in touch with. You know, we really hit it off.
Sure.
So we will communicate every so often. There was a guy in Iceland that I interviewed. And so when the volcano went off, I just checked in with him to make sure he was okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, thanks for checking on me. And it's like, he's my new buddy over in Iceland. And so if I ever go to Iceland, I might have a place to stay.
There you go. Never hurts to network, right?
Exactly. That's why I try to interview people in every country. So then, you know, I can call. Hey, I'm going to be in your neck of the woods. Want to go to dinner? You're paying, of course.
So out of the guests that you do remember, is there any few that really, really stand out that, like, you were just kind of like, wow, when you were done with the interview?
Yeah, exactly. There was a woman in the Bahamas who herself is, I believe, she's Spanish or Italian. I don't know. I get all those foreign languages confused.
Okay.
So I'm not sure. But anyway, she lives in the Bahamas now, and the show was called The Shark Listener. She swims with sharks. And she actually has befriended, now, not great whites, but a smaller species of sharks. And she's actually named them. And she goes down, and they come up to her and want to be petted. These adorable sharks. I mean, she doesn't recommend it. She also takes people on dives to go see these sharks.
And she's not in a cage or anything like that. She's swimming.
No, she goes. She has done the cage stuff, but she just goes and swims amongst, I don't remember the kind of shark they are, but that, like I said, she wouldn't try it with a great white.
Yeah. Probably a good life suggestion.
But that's the problem, is sharks in general have a bad reputation because of Jaws.
Right.
And after the movie Jaws, everybody thought sharks were just these evil creatures that just went around eating people. And they don't do that. I mean, even great whites tend to stay away from humans. They don't really want anything. If they eat a human, it's by accident.
Right. They see the shadow and they think it's seal.
Yeah, think it's a seal and they'll attack it. But they don't say, oh, good, a human. I'm going to have a leg of human. It doesn't work that way. But they get bad reputations for it. So she was fascinating. And I wanted, every so often there's somebody, even though the interviews are usually around a half hour to 45 minutes, there have been some people, I won't mention names or even the episode, that I wanted to turn off right after I said hello, and others that I wanted to talk to for days.
Sure.
And if every so often, a few times I've actually done a two-parter because somebody was so fascinating that I said, and had good information, mm-hmm. that I said, let's do another episode. So, but they are, yeah. Then there was a woman I spoke to who runs the Dian Fossey Gorilla Fund.
Okay.
And so she's spent a lot of time with gorillas, and I have been a gorilla nut my entire life since seeing the original King Kong on TV when I was a kid. And I've always loved gorillas. When I did see the original King Kong, I was 5 or 6 or something. And it was on a thing, I grew up in New York, and there was a thing called Million Dollar Movie, mm-hmm. where they would run it like it was a movie theater.
Right.
They'd have two every night of the week. They have two showings of a movie every night of the week, and then 6 or 7 on Saturday and Sunday. And so you could just keep watching something over and over again. And I was watching King Kong, and the end came. My father came into the room, and I'm sitting there crying hysterically. He goes, "What happened? What's wrong?" I go, "They killed King Kong. He didn't want to go to New York. They made him. He was fine on his island. Why did they just leave him on the island?" And I was all upset. That's how I knew, even as a young child, that I was a liberal. But but I've always been fascinated with gorillas. I would have a pet gorilla if I could, if they allowed it. And so when I was interviewing her and talking all about their gorilla work and researching and out in the wilds with the gorillas, it's like, okay, I could listen to this all day long.
So do you have like a dream guest that you haven't yet spoken to?
I have reached out and tried to get Abraham Lincoln on the show, but they keep telling me he's not available, and I don't understand why.
I hate when that happens. You must have a good publicist.
Yeah, I guess. It's like, but no, come on. There are people, yes, I would love to have Neil deGrasse Tyson on, and I have reached out to him and gotten no response. Who else? There have been people that I've talked to who have said, oh, we don't have time. We don't have time. And, well, make time. It's like, do you know who I am? They go, and no, we don't know who you are. I said, well, join the club. But still, it's like, I said, I'm still working on it, on who I am exactly. But I haven't found a good therapist yet. I would like, there was a woman I reached out to and have not heard back from, who just her situation fascinates me. First, she's a female rabbi.
Okay.
And secondly, she's black. So a black female rabbi. And I wanted to do a show about being Jewish today and what you have to deal with and talking about anti-Semitism and how to avoid it and how to deal with it and stuff. And I thought she would really be a fascinating guest because she's battling on two fronts.
Sure.
Or three, if you consider that she's a woman, she's African-American, and she's Jewish. It's like, you got to be a glutton for punishment to do that.
Or an ironclad will.
Yes. It's like, what the heck? So that, yet Sammy, I don't know if I can tell us, you can edit it out if it's not appropriate, but Sammy Davis Jr. used to tell a joke where he said he was down south and he was on a bus. He gets on the bus and he sits down right in the front, and the bus driver says, hey, N-word, get to the back of the bus. He says, I'm not a N-word. He says, I'm Jewish. And the bus driver says, in that case, get off the bus. Just stuff that's always had to been dealt with, that I thought we were beyond it, but evidently not.
Yeah. Sad, but true.
No, there would be people. There are some people in the public eye who are big names that I would like to talk to. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to find them, especially like old movie stars. I feel their story is disappearing.
Yeah.
How many are left? I can't even think of anyone who's still alive. Robert Wagner is in his 90s. So, and he was a relatively young guy when I was young. He's also considerably older than I am, but still, you know, when I would watch a movie as a kid or something and see an old movie, he was a young guy.
Sure.
And a lot of the old Hollywood people, old Broadway people, I would love to talk to those people.
Yeah, and you always know that they've got a bunch of stories up their sleeve that they probably never told to anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of behind the scenes. I had a guy on my podcast who is was a Canadian speechwriter for various Canadian prime ministers. Mm-hmm. And then he wrote a book on Jimmy Carter and interviewed Jimmy Carter. And he was an interesting guest and had a lot of stories to tell. That's what I like, to find people like that who have done stuff that most of us haven't even thought of.
Yeah. Well, there you have it, folks. Mr. Steve Fisher, he's the host of Life Slices, and you can hear it. Of course, if you've got a podcast app right in front of you because you're hearing this, so you can hear Steve.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks so much for coming on the show, Steve.
Thank you, Jim.
Now it's time for Sherpa Samples. If you've got a podcast you'd like us to sample, contact us, and we'll mention your name on the show.
It is time once again for Sherpa Samples, and it is the portion of the show where I get to listen to some of the podcasts that are out on the podcast charts and fill you in on them. And it's not usually my place to review them, but just really to let you know what these podcasts are all about. You know, sometimes you see a title and you're like, what is that about anyway? Well, I'm here to tell you. But I have to say, this week is a little bit different because there are two that I really have to kind of voice of an... Sorry, dropped my microphone. There are some that I really do want to voice an opinion about because a lot of these podcasts were kind of long. I actually think I spent about 11 hours of listening to these 10 podcasts. So I kept pretty busy with them. So let's get started. The first one is Varmintown, and this is a story featuring actor Kyle MacLachlan, and it's a story about a small town, Varmintown, in North Carolina that apparently was used by Pablo Escobar to smuggle in drugs, and the podcast goes into all the different stories about how this came to be and what happened with that, and but they did it under everybody's nose, so who knows? Even mine. Zoe Science and Nutrition is obviously a show about science and nutrition. The episode that I listened to was about something called SIBO, which is an overproduction of bacteria in the small intestine. And it's really interesting because it does affect a lot of people and it does give them a lot of digestive issues. So they were discussing that. So we got a little science in this week at the Sherpa Chalet. Black Box is a little technology as well. It is how AI affects people's lives. Doesn't really look at it in a negative light. The episode that I listened to actually had to do with AI and people who had cancer and the positive effect that AI had on it. The Spy Who, I believe, is presented by Wondery, and it's all true stories about real-life spies. And of course, naturally being a spy podcast, I had to listen to the episode about The Spy Who Inspired James Bond. And this was during World War II, and how they fooled the Germans into thinking there was going to be an attack. And then ultimately there was the attack on Normandy that the Germans did not expect. Check your history books. It's in there. Midnight Burger is a unique one. Believe it or not, it's a science fiction podcast that has to do with a lot of time travel and a lot of weird out of space kind of things. It's listed as like a sci-fi comedy. It's definitely a unique sort of thing. It's almost like a role-playing podcast when you listen, but it really isn't. But it's definitely done in the style of one. And there are a lot of unique stories and episodes within this podcast. So if you're into sci-fi, maybe this is a podcast that you would like to check out. The Woman's Game is the title of a podcast about women's soccer. And it actually featured a retired soccer player interviewing another retired soccer player. I got to tell you, I really don't know a lot about women's soccer. I probably know even less about women's soccer than I do professional football. So, but it was an interesting interview. The two athletes who were involved in the interview were Sam Mewis and Megan Rapinoe. So I don't really know much about their careers, but they are friends, and I guess I believe they were also teammates as well. So they were doing a lot of reminiscing in this interview. It was a pretty good interview if you were definitely into women's soccer. But like I said, I know nothing about it. So please don't ask me about women's soccer. And we also heard Cornette's Drive-Thru. It's very similar to the other podcast called The Jim Cornette Experience, hosted by, of course, Jim Cornette. And I think it's the same co-host, if I'm not mistaken. Their episodes tend to run long. He's kind of like, I believe I said it the last time too, like the Joe Rogan of wrestling podcasts. I think that episode was like 2.5 hours long, and he's got a lot to talk about. He's an interesting cat. He's been in the wrestling biz, I think, for well over 40 years. So there's definitely a lot for him to talk about. And if you're a fan, then check it out. So now the two that I had a little bit of a problem with. The first one is Pop Apologists, and it is hosted by two women. And I guess it's like a gossip show. And, you know, I have nothing against gossip shows or even the people who listen to gossip shows. If you like that, you know, that's fine. I know that some people feel that, well, gossip is a form of entertainment. And if that's the way that you think you need to be entertained, then hey, go ahead, live your life. But
this episode was, I don't know, it was a little bothersome to me. They were talking about where is Kate Middleton, and we're going to go under the assumption and give them the benefit of the doubt that this was recorded a number of weeks before the princess announced that she had cancer. And they were just really spouting out all this gossip, and a lot of it was about Prince William cheating and all these other weird theories and stuff like that. I mean, I even see things online that when Princess Kate addressed the public about her condition, people were like, it's a conspiracy theory, it's not really her, blah, blah, blah. It's like, you know, this is a woman who's going through a lot right now. I don't really know a lot about her personally, but I've really never heard a lot of bad things about her. And, you know, she is a wife and a mother to several small children. Just maybe cut her some grace. Maybe they should apologize for putting out this episode instead of wishing the princess well instead. I hope that Kate does feel better. And here at the Sherpa Chalet, we wish her the best in all of her recovery. So we also had Canceled with Tana Mongeau, and it's hosted by Tana Mongeau and Brooke Schofield. And I guess they're big TikTokers or Instagram people. I guess they're influencers. This is like a classic example of the issues that I have with influencers, to be honest with you. I don't hate them. I just kind of question, you know, why? That's my question. Now, a while back, we had Deanne Gustafson on, and she's an influencer, and she's a friend, and she's a great podcaster, and a super nice lady, and even she admitted that, you know, some of these influencers have a bit of a ego issue. And I think these two women thought who they were, and I honestly didn't have a clue as to who either one of them were. And, you know, some of the things that they were saying, you know, they didn't know that Joan Rivers died. They didn't know that Stephen Hawking had died. They thought that the singer Tracy Chapman was a man originally before even seeing her. You know, I was losing brain cells listening to this podcast, and it was an hour and a half long. So, Rebels, if I'm a little dopey by the time this episode ends, you know, please, you know, send in some money and maybe I can buy some new brain cells. And the last one was Free with Ads. I like this one. A lot of podcasts are out there talking about the TV shows and movies that are on the streaming services, but this podcast featured two comics talking about the movies that you can watch for free on certain streaming services. And the first one, and the movie that they talked about was He's Not That Into You, which I think was a number of years ago. And, you know, they didn't like it. That's a spoiler alert. And they're just really tearing it apart. And they were funny. You know, it was a little raunchy, but it was cute. So, yeah, and it was a clever idea, too. I guess that would probably be the pick of the week if you want to check that out. And you know what else is free with ads, Rebels? The outro.
Let's get back to the Sherpa.
Sorry about that.
No!
Thanks to all of you for spending a little time listening to Too Many Podcasts, and a very special thanks to Mr. Steve Fisher. And be sure to check out his podcast, Life Slices, on podcast apps everywhere, and there's definitely a lot of interesting stuff on that show. I'm sure that you will enjoy it. And if you like that social media thing, yeah, I'm on there. Sherpalution is the word that you need. And I'm on Facebook, Instagram, X, and even TikTok with my little silly promotional videos. Hope you check them out and have a laugh or two on me.
It's all on me.
There's the laugh that I have. I don't know. And we will be back next week with, of course, another wonderful episode. Hope you will enjoy it. And until then, I say to you, Rebels of the Sherpalution, viva la Sherpalution.
Thanks for listening to Too Many Podcasts. Please disperse. You can go home now. I said you can go home now. Viva la Sherpalition. Viva la Sherpalition. Oh. Yell, come back now, you hear?
You know, Rebels, if you've been checking out some of my promotional ads on social media, you'll be aware that I have been using a lot of AI programs to help me create ads. But you know what? There's a lot more uses for AI than just funny little videos. And I'd like to introduce one of our new sponsors, Podium. It is a leader in creating AI tools for podcasters. Now, let's say you've got a podcast, or maybe you're even thinking of doing a podcast. You're probably wondering, well, how can AI be integrated with your workflow? I'll tell you about Podium. As a podcaster, you know that writing show notes and creating chapters and transcribing episodes takes a lot of time, and it can cost you a lot of money too. But you know what? That's where Podium comes in. It's an AI tool designed specifically for creators and podcasters with the goal of making post-production tasks quick and easy. And in just a few minutes, Podium generates show notes, chapters, summaries, clips for social media, a full transcript, suggested episode titles, social media posts, and more. Whew, that's a lot of work for one little program. Your show notes are key to your podcast's success because it helps new listeners find your podcast and they'll know if it's a fit for them, you know, kind of like too many podcasts. It also improves your SEO, that's your search engine optimization. Ooh, big phrase there. And overall accessibility. And with Podium, you can focus on creating a great podcast and let Podium's AI do the heavy lifting. But Podium isn't just for solo creators and podcasters. It's a game changer for editors, producers, marketers, agencies, and production studios. Teams that use Podiums are able to increase workloads, decrease turnaround times, and improve their quality. How does it work? Very easy. First, go to Podium's website, and you'll see that link that's right there in the show notes. You get 3 hours free just to try it. Pretty cool, huh? And using that link also supports this show as well. And you know what else happens? Because I'm a good guy. You use my link, you will get 50% off for your first month. So visit the site, upload an MP3 file, and download your files, and that's it. And if you need anything else, you can use Podium GPT to generate articles and any marketing copy you might need in seconds. Instant show notes, transcripts, chapters for your podcast or channel. This will level up that podcast. So check out Podium today.